Now, please don't judge this lesson by the way things look to you, having been brought up in the world under liberal brainwash. You cannot. Now, listen to me, please, carefully. Everybody, give me absolute attention all the way through this. Don't let your mind flitter around like other people. I'm going to try to teach you something this morning. And I don't want you to look at this by, well, that's not the way it looks to me. Because what I'm going to bring will not look this way to a lot of you. And you cannot judge by the way things look to you, having been brought up in the world with a total liberal brainwash. You see, in early Reformation days, it was difficult for Catholics to see and accept the Reformation gospel, even though they had all kinds of scriptural proof, because they were brought up Catholic and everything was oriented in the mind another way. And if they judged the truth of God's word in the Reformation by the way they were brought up, they wouldn't reject it. It just seemed wrong. It just seemed like the Catholic Church should be the only church. And it was the top, and it just seems like, and it always will seem like the way you're taught. But those who would open their minds beyond that begin to see something else. Please don't judge this by subjectivism. That is how it impacts your individual life. There are so many people, whether they receive or reject depends on how it impacts their life. I've seen people toss the theology completely 180 degrees around by how it impacts them. They've been in a certain church, they believe everything they teach, and something comes against them. It may be some church out there that won't marry them for some reason. They'll flip out, go to another church, throw all the theology away, accept everything in the new church because they'll accept them. Yeah, total subjectivism. That church may be right in doctrine, even if they're wrong in what they did. And there are so many people, their whole life is oriented about how much love you show them. They'll accept doctrine by the bales if you just love them. I mean, we have got to accept truth on the basis of proof and truth and something else on the basis of whatever that is and not mix them together. Please don't judge this by demonic feelings. Now, it's going to be difficult because there may be, and probably will be, some demonic pressure on you this morning to be upset and to reject this. When you feel that upsetness coming, that rejection, and that disdain, you need to say, Now, wait a minute. God gave this man to me to be my pastor and to teach me something. And if I'm going to block when he brings me something, I may fail to find truth. Please give me credit for being a man of God called to pastor you into truth. Please give me credit for having a longer time span being saved to view things. I was brought up in Pentecost all my life. I've been watching this thing all my life, these type of things. Please give me credit for doing my homework, having my research on this, having read a lot of things, and not reading them from the liberal brainwash side either. Please don't judge this. Please give me credit for being fair and accurate. Please give me credit for loving you. Please recognize I love you. Please give me credit for having reasons for what I can't fully take time to qualify. Now, I'm speaking this morning, and this will be an extra long Sunday school lesson, and we won't have any morning sermon. So this will run over time, and then we'll have just body ministry, singing, and praise the Lord, body ministry, and so forth. Please be open to things that are different. There's a problem in the body. There's a problem all over the world, and the problem is also in our body. And it's not exactly the way you may think that I'm bringing it at first. In fact, when I'm going to bring it first, will seem to the casual observer and to those that have got certain brainwashes in them and certain feelings, it will seem like it's diametrically opposed to what I'm going to bring in phase two. But it's not. They're in harmony with each other. If you understand me, how I think and what I really mean, and not just second guess and make assumptions and let you hurt feelings and demonic feelings and all this, come in and mess it all up and misunderstand. If you understand me, what I say first is in harmony with what I'm going to say second, although they may seem completely different. I would really properly bring the first part last, but because people will be coming in, some of them for morning service, I don't want them to get the last part without getting the first, and so I'm going to turn it around. Now, this message is a message. I've entitled it A Message Against Racism and Sexism, but not in the usual liberal, racist, and sexist way. Now, before I begin this, I want you to pray for me, and we want to pray for you. I want to pray against demons of racial pride. And I don't mean just blacks. I mean Polish with Polak jokes. I mean Irish pride, English pride, German pride, Austrian pride. I mean every kind of national pride there is. And racial rejection and hurts. I would like you to stand, please. I would like you to consider what your race is. And blessed are they that are so mixed up they don't know. And whether you're Greek or Arab or whatever you are, and you got this, Greece, Austria, Switzerland, whatever it is, I want you to come against any feelings of defensiveness or pride for your nationality. And we can get your eyes open in the second phase of this later. I think the second phase is going to really help you, but I must bring the first phase, which is going to make it difficult for some people, hopefully not, for some people to maybe get through. And then those that feel like there's no problem, I want you to be praying for others. But we're coming against these spirits that are here. Lord, we come now against spirits of demons of racial pride, ethnic pride, national pride. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind you, we rebuke you, we bind your power, so you will not hinder them during this message. And you spirits of racial rejection and hurts, I rebuke you spirits of hurt. I rebuke you spirits of prejudice. I rebuke you spirits of feeling of rejection. In the name of Jesus, we bind your power. Lord, send your angels to block them, that the minds might be free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, first of all, I want to give a background to straighten out loyalties, and then we'll get into the message itself. This background I wrote this morning after I'd had the other message all done. It was not a part of my original thesis. This background I brought to you before a number of times. But if I bring the other, it's going to seem like to some people that I'm on the liberal bandwagon, and I'm not. And so I'm going to bring this, and please don't make a lot of assumptions. Please know that I am not a racist. I am love you, and I don't have the slightest care in my heart. What race you come from, it makes no difference to me or God at all. So please understand that and don't read in things that are not there. Just because you're hurt. There are people that because they're hurt, you even mention their nationality. They're immediately hurt. I mean, you can't even mention them, they're immediately hurt. They're so thin-skinned, it's boom, it blow up like this. You even mention them. See, you couldn't even mention anybody having done anything wrong. I mean, if you just said, I went down to Mexico and there was a lot of poverty. Oh, hurt. I'm a Mexican, see. I mean, they're so hurt, they can't even accept any truth. I said, because other people have been attacking me. Well, don't make me attack you because other people have been attacking you, see. All my life I've been attacked. Well, don't make your pastor attacking you. Don't put me in the same bag with them, please. See? No, but I want to show you something. There has been such an enormous brainwash in this country for a reason that is not clear to the American people. That because of the truth that is there, and the effect and the impact and the subjectiveness and so forth, they have accepted this thing that's been pounding on them all their life. Just like the German people were brought in and the German youth into Nazism because they were constantly had this propaganda until they became Nazis to the core. See, you shape people by what you teach. This thing is so big, Almost anybody who feels like I do, that they'll not bring it because of the flavor of the people. But if they never bring it, who's going to ever get them out of it? If we're ever going to stay straight and know what's happening, we've got to be able to take this, even though I don't get near as much time with you as all the media does. Now, the liberals in America are not on the right track in non-discrimination. And our country is not on the right track in the so-called non-discrimination program. The people who've been on the right track, certain churches, living a lot of Pentecostal churches in the South, as well as the North, and not them only, and in Azusa Street, for example, that while in the South, for example, say 30, 40 years ago, where there was a lot of racism and whites against blacks and blacks against whites, there were Pentecostal churches that had both in it, and they would just all loved one another and worshiped and cared less for the world fought that all around them. They accepted each other. Now, there were churches in the South who didn't do that, who kept separate for a lot of different reasons. Some of them reasonable, some of them unreasonable. But there were those, like in Azusa Street, they had a black pastor. Pastor Seymour was a black pastor. Whites came in from all over. Now, you see, this was 1900 in America, and those Germans and Americans and Swedish, they didn't care that the pastor was black. They're looking for the Holy Ghost. And we'll probably send some black pastors out from this church. See? Those are the people that had the right spirit. But they did not have the same thing that the liberalism has, liberals have. Ever since God divided Nimrod's kingdom into nations, there's been racism. Rivalry, pride, disdain of other of nations, defensiveness of ethnic groups, and so forth. Now, 40 years ago in America, there was overt racism in the South. Not everywhere, but there was. Whites against blacks. And now the liberals have made the entire nation racist. Now, most people do not know this. Under the guise of removing racism, once America, the melting pot of the world, wasn't in general too concerned over one's ethnic background. I was brought up in the Northwest, you know, a generation before most of you. And when I was brought up, we had blacks in our schools and others, Mexicans and so forth. Nobody cared. In the schools I brought up, I never heard a word about it. Nobody ever talked about color. Well, I grew up in my schools. They never talked about color. Nobody cared what color he was. I mean, this black fellow was on the football team, and he was a hero, and people voted him in as a student, you know, so forth. There wasn't any racism where I came grew up in. But today, it's everybody's talking about color all the time. Everybody's edgy, and everybody's... The liberals have made this nation racist. Now, everyone is super sensitive to ethnic cultures. All must be done in accordance with race, religion, and sex. I mean, we take a picture. Is there a black in it? Is there a woman in it? Is there an ethnicity? Everything today is, you know, well, how many we got? How many? Everything is, everybody's thinking race and sex. But before, they didn't care too much. And the liberals have done this. And this all is done now under the pretense of, see, everyone is super sensitive to ethnic cultures almost. All must be done in accordance with race, religion, and sex, under the pretense of nothing must be done by race, religion, or sex. The end result is that it is legitimate to discriminate in practice against whites, men, evangelicals, and morality. Now listen to me, I'm not trying to get on any white man's bandwagon, I'm just trying to tell you truth. But it's not legitimate to discriminate against blacks, Indians, dark races, women, heathens, communists, homosexuals, occultists, or immorality. Now the liberals are doing this. Now listen, the liberals have not brought this in because they're so fair and Christian. My friend, they brought something in, they knew the people would buy. With the way they brought it, for another reason. And that's what I'm getting at. And few people see through the smokescreen to the end result. They are not reading the right papers. They've been and material, and they have been brought up in this thing. Here is the end result they're aiming at. One, bringing in heathenism into America. You see, if they can get everybody to include, see, we've been sending people out to third world countries. You know how much money is being lent to third world countries? Way over, no ability to pay it back. There is a reason behind this madness, my friend. These bankers, you know, they got two fists on every dollar. And when they're loaning out hundreds of billions to nations that can't pay it back, poor people, they don't love those nations. They never cared a hoot for them in the past. There's a reason for them, this thing. And if they can break down all this type of nationality, national Americanism and so forth, break the immigration, what they're going to do is load in the third world by the hundreds of millions in this. They're going to load them in one day. You wait and see. And you're going to find disease go up. You're going to find heathenism become rampant. They're trying to swap the Christian culture and the moral majority in America is what they're trying to do. And so they're bringing in heathenism. What do these other people bring in? The same thing God, when he warned Israel, don't go after the nation. Same problem when Solomon brought wives from all over. Same thing. In comes heathenism. And what's the end result? It kills the practice of worship to the true God. In with all come all their gods and all their occultism, all the demonism and all the wickedness through a guise of non-discrimination. In reality, what they're doing is pushing world government. They cannot have a strong force this way. They've got to break down all those so they can bring the world in and make the whole thing one. A strong nationalistic nation who's rich will not join with the rest of the world for world government. World government's impossible. They've got to weaken the American dollar, make inflation go up, get the industry to other nations, build other nations up with lots of money, bring in heathenism and heathen cultures, weaken morality. All this whole thing is for one purpose, world government under Antichrist, to bring in heathen influence so they can bring in demonic bondage. And what's happened the last 10 years? More demonism and demonic bondage than this world has never seen. When I was a boy growing up, you didn't know, but they did not have such demonic pressures on people. The demonic pressures are fantastic. I warned that 15 years ago in this church. I said, you watch what's happening in Brazil. It's going to happen right here. In Brazil, the Portuguese came in, brought Catholicism to Brazil, and they brought in black slaves from Africa, and they brought in spiritism, heathenism, from Africa to the black slaves, and the country is now, although it's almost 100% Catholic, but 99% or something, it's 85% practicing spiritists. And is loaded with heathenism. I said, you watch, America's about 10 years behind them. We're going to do the same thing here. I've been watching this thing. My predictions have been on year after year on practically everything I've been saying. And we have been loading in heathenism and occultism and so forth. You did not used to walk in bookstores and find occult literature like you is now. They have a little section about like this. And see, this thing is done through the guise of non-discrimination. Christians, and the feeling is this, there's a very positive discrimination by the liberals. They are heavily discriminatory, although they preach the opposite. But they get an excuse, although it's a flimsy excuse. Their excuse is, well, Christians have had their way too long as a majority, so it's okay to discriminate against them. And we're finding this over and over again. I get all kinds of access to literature that you don't have. And I'm getting things from the Christian Legal Defense and all kinds of papers. I got loads of paper coming in. Things they're reporting. Well, you're reading in Times and the PI and the television. It doesn't tell you these things. They are absolutely silent on a lot of these things that are happening. They don't tell you the true story. A minister just the other day, he went and he'd been picketing this abortion clinic with a sign. And he knelt down on the sidewalk in public property in front of the abortion and prayed. And within 5 minutes, he was arrested, and he was fined by the judge, but then the sentence was, what do you call it, deferred, or suspended, and then he was fined money, and he's been sued now for something like $1.2 million by the abortion clinic for losing money because he's been picketing. Look what the liberals do out here. Arrested for praying, see, against it. But they come, and look how they go in the bandwagon against things. Nobody's arrested. They're going to arrest them for violence, but not no liberal will ever quietly, in a peaceful way, get arrested for opposing something like this. And there's a whole lot of other cases that were mentioned, and four other ministers were been arrested for these things, and the judge even said that, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but the end result was a recommendation that he, you know, go to a psychiatrist and get straightened out in his mind. See, because it differs from him. And one of the things that that the Christian legal defense is worried about, and has stated, and you read it in Balance, is that so many judges today no longer are following the law or the Constitution, but they're going out on their own liberal opinion and doing whatever they want and flying in the face of all precedent and so forth. Now, number two, what it's doing is taking men out of the role of this God-given leadership of the nation. It's weakening the family unit. It's bringing division, fighting, because no longer any head, and divorce. And because of it, it's bringing in then non-marriages, people living together, so you won't have that problem of divorce. It's weakening the church. And it's weakening the nation. Men are being put under women. And some of these new liberal breeds, they are the most snobbish, arrogant, impolite. I have met a whole lot of them now. They are a horrible breed of people. I mean, they're so full of conceit and orneriness and subjectivism and emotionalism. They're so absolutely one way. They're in a terrible place. This one police woman shot the police man partner because he wouldn't let her drive the car. This demonism is rising in America. Americans are being put under foreigners, and the property sold to foreigners. More and more, this country will be sold to foreigners as time goes on. It's weakening the gross national product as people are put into positions they can't handle as well. Inflation goes up. They don't put out the workload. And things can't get taken care of. Just like when we had a demonic manifestation here and the place was uncontrollable and they called the police, they sent this sawed-off woman police. She couldn't do anything. And what she did is she radioed for, she said, well, I have to call radio for backup. I said, backup, nothing, replacement. She did nothing. There wasn't any backup. She called a man. A man came in and handled it. She stood by and watched. Two salaries. Equal pay for equal work, baloney. No equal pay for equal work. Every time I've seen them out there, the woman is always standing, the man's always doing the work. How would you like telling some little woman about 110 pounds to defend you and some big thugs after you? What do? They call for replacements. So this thing is rampant in America. And it increases the gross, it decreases the national gross product in America. It brings prices way up. Cost is a lot more because of it. It's increasing tensions. Busting people from school after school, there's tension where there wasn't any tension before. Forcing people into positions where they're making problems. Men, whites, Americans are becoming upset at reverse discriminations. And these people, see, first of all, the liberals preached, it is absolutely, totally wrong to discriminate on the basis of color. It's immoral. It's immoral to hire on the basis of color. When they first said that, I stepped toward the class, you watch. That is what they're saying. That is not what they're feeling. In a few years, you watch, it will turn over, and they will hire by color. I was right. I predicted it right down the line because I had my eyes open. Because I knew what they were doing. I'd been studying this. I studied how the Communist Party worked since 1914 in this nation to get the blacks unhappy enough. They couldn't get the blacks unhappy enough. And they couldn't get the blacks to feel unhappy. And they was even had advocates saying, well, they don't know because they're too backward to know they're unhappy, but they're unhappy. We stand for them. The whites were beating the bandwagon for this, not the blacks. And they were trying to foster this, and they were trying to build seven black states in the southern part of the country. It was the Communist Party were doing this thing. I've been reading. I've been knowing what's been going on in this country. And so here they are. And so it wasn't very long, and now everything is discriminating on the basis of color. Hiring on the basis of color, which is totally immoral. They admitted it was immoral. People saw it was immoral. One communist woman, I saw her interviewed on television, and they asked her this question. Why, if it's discriminatory to hire on the basis of color, Here comes a man in. He's a man who's had lots of experience. He's a white man with lots of experience. He cannot get the job, although he's the first man to apply. First man, most highly qualified. Many cases have come this way, many cases. A woman less qualified got the job, or a black and less qualified got the job, who came in not first. I said, that's discrimination. You know what her answer was? Well, sometimes it's necessary to discriminate individually for the masses. That is exactly what's done in communist Russia. This is pure communism. For the good of the people, we don't care about the individual. Do you think the people are? They're individuals. For the masses, they discriminate individually against individuals. You can't discriminate against that person just because he's a minority black person. How about that white person? Oh, it didn't make any difference because we don't have as many people in this group as he has in this group. Let me show you what that's going to lead you to after a while. That is totally wrong. If he's the most capable and he was first there, he should be, in any proper state of morality, hired. And it's taken away, and what happens? When those with less ability are put in, up goes prices, down goes efficiency. You know what happens then? Industries move to other nations, and people become out of work, other nations produce and send in. And then we get big unemployment. The liberals have been always crying about unemployment. Let me tell you something. Let me clue you in on this unemployment deal under the Reagan administration. The liberals in this nation, under the last 10 years of government, about 13 now, they have dropped the industry in this nation has been dropped 50%. And social services have gone up, I can't remember the number, but up into the hundreds of percent. It's like this. And social services means lots of tax. They don't put anything back in the country, really, and materially. And the industry has gone out. Now, these other nations, Japan is now selling more cars in America than we are. And around the world. These other nations, Japan, radios, everything are coming in from outside. And what's happened, when we would have been way up here above the others, we've been pulled down constantly. And now people have been put out of work. A lot of people put out of work because of this. And we channeled into social services, and taxes have been built over the years. And now, when the president, he can't turn that around right away, he's trying to cut down the overhead in government. And a cry has gone out. Sure, when you cut overhead down out in government and the fat out, of course you're going to get some people laid off. And they make a great big deal of you laying them off. See, they don't care people are laid off. They just don't want them laid off of overhead. They don't mind laying them off of industry. They just don't want them laid off of overhead. They're always one way. They're liars from the beginning. They lie constantly. They're the father of the devil. And they're always misrepresenting everything to the people all the time. Constantly. There's a magazine I get called AIM. His whole purpose, his whole aim, is to print what was really said by Reagan and so forth, and print what the paper said about and how he twisted it and got everybody into, and they're constantly upset about this. They'll be constantly being misquoted and so forth. Now, increasing inflation could cause increasing divorce because taking men out of God-given leadership, and here is a man trucker with a woman trucker, man policeman with a woman policeman, that men and women put on the jobs this way together, this thing, and divorce is coming up, and because women get the liberation now, you know, to go out and do whatever they want, and bring the dorms together and everything, venereal disease, adultery, then women disdaining men, they go to homosexual, and the men go over to homosexual, and homosexuality comes in, and the nation is getting loaded with its problems because of what the liberals have done, and meaning increasing broken homes, children without parents, both parents, meaning problems in the child growing up, deep rejections and problems. Number three, resulting in breaking Americans' patriotic spirit, getting ready for a communist takeover, so they can and communist push, so they will join them and they can bring in world government, make them join them because of it. Americans' patriotic spirit has greatly been broken because of no-win wars, the policy such, and everything that's been done. These liberals, you know how they cry about, you know, the whales out here and people getting hurt and so forth? Do you know what kind of a bloodbath has gone on in Vietnam and Cambodia when they were brought in? What kind of bloodbath? You know, down in Salvador and other places right now, trying to keep our nation out of it. They don't mind billions for the nations. They give billions for the nations all the time. They give billions for the communist nations. They don't mind that. They don't want any money to stop communist aggression. Every time they fuss, it's against communist aggression. The communist takeover is going to be another bloodbath. And another atheism brought in, Antichrist brought in, another pressure to fulfill the Marxist-Lenin dream that they will circle the United States and will fall like an overripe plum into their hands. This is a goal. The end goal is stamp out Christianity and bring in demonism worldwide, that the devil may rule and be prince of the whole world. That is the end of all of this movement of the liberals. And the feeling here is, you see, first, if Christians had to wait too long as majorities, so they discriminated. You watch. Next 10 years, you're going to see lots of Christian discrimination. Men had to wait too long, so it's okay to discriminate against them. Now, Americans have had their way too long, so it's okay to discriminate against them. And number four, I've already mentioned this, weakening the industrial base by forcing into office those not capable of high performance, and also lowering the educational standards. What's it done? Women police could not meet the requirement. Certain height, a certain weight. They wanted big fellas, not little tiny shrimps. And they wanted to be able to do certain things. They have lowered the standards so women can get in. They've lowered education standards so other groups can get in that do not have the educational base. What happens to the performance of people that can't pass and they lower it? This nation, which should be the greatest on earth, has been going down, 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 down. Every year has been going down, 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 down in educational standards. And the people graduating can't even read or write, a lot of them. They know practically nothing about their own language. They're in trouble, and it's constantly being admitted. And who's doing it? This great liberal society. What they're doing about it? Nothing but destroying it. Now, the feeling is that the bourgeois has had the way too long trying to bring the proletariat, which is communist talk, which just means that the capitalists, the upper class, the free enterprise system, and the whites have had the way too long. So now it's okay to discriminate against them. See, they are not against discrimination, but they want to discriminate against certain people. You know the trouble Pentecostals have and community chaplains have trying to get into campuses and teach the schools? Communists come in and teach the whole classes. The gurus come in. All the transcendental meditationists come in. Everybody else from every other world and ethnic culture come in. The liberals say, well, the Indians have got something to teach us through their gods. The South people, they have something to teach us. But they never say the Pentecostals have something to teach us. No way. They are liars. They are they are the most discriminatory people on the face of the earth. Christians, fundamentalists, conservatives are much more open-minded and really liberal in their thinking than the liberals are, so-called. They're not liberal at all. They're narrow-minded bigots. They will not allow people to have any other feeling. They attack constantly, fight hard against these groups. They are total liars. They call liberation is not liberation. Civil rights is not civil rights. Liberals are not liberals. They did exactly what the Bible says. In the last days, they shall call darkness light and light darkness. And so-called civil rights has prepared the people for government interference. You can come in and tell you how to do department houses, with your business, who you hire, how you do it. The whole idea is to get people used to government interference so because they feel like this, the capitalist and the free enterprise system has gone too long now. Now it's time to bring in the worker class. The communists have been working through the unions for the worker class. Unions have been demanding more money, more money, more money, more money. And up, 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 wages, prices, wages, prices, wages, prices, wages, prices. It wouldn't be too bad if we were a nation by ourselves. Because wages, prices, wages, prices, wages, prices. I mean, you know, whether you pay a dollar, whether you get a dollar a day and pay a dollar for a pair of pants, or whether you get $10 a day or pay $10 for a pair of pants, it doesn't make too much of a difference, but it makes a difference on the international scene. And that's where we're getting in trouble. And if it was not for that, with our free enterprise system and our advances, we would be way above every other nation on the earth, and they would never get world government in. And we had to be weakened militarily, too. See, Russia catching up with us, passing us up. We were way above. There was no reason for that. There was a whole series of us hold back, us trusting them, and we knew we couldn't trust them, putting money underneath them, loaning them money, sending them all kinds of civil things they could use for military, every kind of thing, you know, blocking us, stopping our CIA, stopping people from having to clear the communists, et cetera, ad nauseum, has allowed the communists to build until they're getting bigger, and they're getting more and more bully boys. And you watch the next 10 years. They're going to be really pushing us around. We're in trouble in this nation, because this nation has rejected God and the truth of God, and this nation is going to be punished and hurt and under judgment. But God's going to use that, finally, like he used the Babylonish captivity to bring the people to repentance. And we're going to find an open door one day, and God's going to be building in us the power of the Holy Ghost, his love relationship and power, and a world out here starved and brought out of the truth, until all the churches today are doing every kind of carnal thing there is instead of spiritual life. And someday they're going to be wide open to truth, and they're going to find that the seventh head of the beast is going to be hit by a sword wound, and down is going to go, and God's going to bring the kingdom and take him home. And then he's going to turn it over to the world government and let them have it for a season. And then God's Christ is going to come again, and it's going to be the millennial reign. He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and going to do things right. See, God gave this earth to people in good shape, and they totally messed it up. And he's going to get it back in horrible shape. And through the saints of God, they're going to turn it back around into righteousness again. Now, all of this I've been bringing you has been difficult for the nation to see, because the liberals have taught subjectivism. That's one thing the liberals have really done in this nation, is taught hard on subjectivism. They feel a certain way, and that's the way they respond. We've been watching all of life, people growing up watching, everything is for you. For example, the Women Hill recently, the Women's Liberation Group, has said that it is immoral and wrong for, see, when they retire, they say, okay, men typically have so many years lifespan after they retire, and women have a longer lifespan. And so they've taken the money and divided, because they both pay in the same amount, and so they've divided the money up. I'm going to get this basically right, even if I don't get it perfectly right, but it's the idea. They're going to divide the money up over a longer period of time so they get less money per year. I think I'm right on this, something like this. And the women. And so the women have been said, this is unfair, because all women don't, you know, live that long a life. It's unfair. See, now they're against them by the masses. But how about us individuals? See, they're individual when they want individuals. They're masses when they want masses. They're total subjective. And so they but it's a law. They had a lawsuit about this. And the court favored, the court came out in favor of the women. And so now there's all these changes that have been made but these women found out also that this is going to have a domino effect and other things. And if it's unfair to discriminate against the women in this regard, then it's unfair in other areas. And so now it's brought up auto insurance. Women under 25 get cheaper rates for auto insurance than men do, because you got these hot rod guys out here wanting to screech around corners as fast as they can make it, and they go faster than they can make it, and they end up in the ditch. And so, but every man doesn't drive that way, but for the masses. And when they found that out, according to the article I was reading, they reversed their course and thought it was unfair. See, this is, in other words, everything is, how do I benefit in my program, not what is really right. And this is a problem in America. You see, the unions have been sort of a necessary evil. See, this world is full of sin. And no matter where the capitalists are sinning, and the communists are sinning, and every side, everybody is on the bandwagon for themselves, and they're loaded with demons. But the unions have been hurting this nation. But they help the individual momentarily, and a certain individuals, and so therefore they are pro-union because it helps those. They don't care about the nation. They don't care what it's doing in the international marketplace. They don't care what's going to happen to their grandchildren in their life. They only care about how do I get money right now for me now. And because everything is geared to the almighty dollar and total ego and total selfishness, people cannot think straight. And this is why blacks have had some troubles with things I have said, because it's, well, the liberal, this movement has really helped us, but they don't see the whole picture. It might help people. Though people will be helped in the process of what the devil is doing. And this is what causes some people to accept it, is because they are helped in the process, but they don't see the end thereof. I'm only looking at the end thereof. And so if they gain through their unions or civil rights or women's lib and so forth, they become champions of it. See? And if they find there's been wrongs, of course there's been wrongs. There's been wrongs against women. There's been wrongs against blacks. There's been wrongs. There's been absolute wrongs. But this is, communists have always taken half-truths. That's what they've done down in those other
countries in the Caribbean and so forth. That's why they're all, so many of them are going communist. You see, who owns the big factories? The British do. The Americans do. Who's writing the big cars? They do. Money's coming out of your country, taking gold out of your country, plutonium out of your country, and so forth. How come you guys don't get it? And they said, yeah, I never thought of that. But what they didn't tell them is, before the British came down, that island, they were all scratching with unemployment. They had nothing. They were digging in the dirt. They were poor. They had practically nothing. These people with money took financial risks, came down, and they were loud, of recent anyway, and they built factories, hired those natives. Now the natives ride bicycles before they walked. Now they've got nice clothes on. They wear shirts and pants and so forth. Now they've got radios in their homes. Before they didn't. They've upped them, given them jobs and so forth. And then these people get blamed because they're taking something out of the country. Of course they are. They put it into it. They could not deal with their own product. They did not know how to get it out of the ground. They did not know what to do with it. Communists always work on half-truths. And the liberals work on half-truths. And the people who are dupes and are blind, and they see the half-truth and they go with it, not seeing the end thereof, and seeing who these people are, what from nature, what kind of a heart do they have, what are they saying, what's the whole picture. If they looked at that, they look at what the communists are doing worldwide, they wouldn't paint everything. There's got to be a motive underneath this thing. Communists don't love those people. They never have loved anybody they've taken over yet. They don't come in and love them and kiss them all and help them all. Oh, now, look at one thing, and then I'm into my message proper. Look at one thing. Who is for and who is against the non-discriminatory women's lib, civil rights, and so forth? The liberals are for it. The heathens are for it. The homosexuals are for it. The sinners are for it. The atheists are for it. The foreigners are for it. The rebellious are for it. And the cultists are for it. Only the fundamentalists and conservative patriots are against it. And many of those are duped. Now that should tell us something. That should tell us something. It's strange to me that those bedfellows have the heart of God and the love for the people. No way. Plus, they made people think that discrimination is wrong. Discrimination is not necessarily wrong. We must discriminate. When you get in the morning, you discriminate. I discriminate. Whether I put on my wife's clothes or my clothes. I discriminate as whether this job takes a man's muscles or whether it takes a woman's muscles. We discriminate with who our children go to, what school they go to, what they do. Discrimination is necessary. The Bible has taught us to discriminate, make a discrimination in our mind between right and wrong. I discriminate between women and men. I will not make women do what men do. I do discriminate between women and men. They should be discriminated against. Women should be given more protection, more help, and more care. I love all women. I don't want to send them out in the battle lines and have them be strafed and everything else. They do not have the ability to take what men can take in those areas. They do not. They cannot handle all kinds of other things out in battle and problems that men can take. I discriminate. Men, people think that discrimination is wrong. Discrimination is not wrong. Discrimination is only wrong if you discriminate on wrong basis. But on right basis, discrimination is right. If you own property, you have a right to discriminate. If it's public property, you don't have a right to discriminate. But they taught the people wrong on that. Now, let me get to my message that I want to bring to help you. That's just the background to keep you from thinking I'm on the liberal bandwagon. Now, just listen to me. The American Heritage Dictionary, now I'm on a different phase. This is going to sound completely different. And this is really what I want to bring you right here. This is my basic message. The American Heritage Dictionary defines racism as the notion that one's own ethnic stock is superior. This is the only definition it gives for it. It didn't pick it number three out. To be proud of your own race is therefore racism. And this is a universal pride. That's universal pride. And it's also universal foolishness. There's a lot of demons, and most people have the demon of racism. Most people. Either overt or subtle. And we want to work against that today. Now the question is, why do people single out their own race to be proud of? Because they are involved. Am I right? Being proud of self. And being proud of one's race is a way of being proud of self. Am I right? And proud, the word proud is only a form word of pride. Am I right? And God hates pride because pride is deceit. pride in a race is nothing less than thinking that a particular race has something superior to other races. Is that right? And that's racism. If this is justified, if it's justified that the Englishmen are proud of the English, the Poles are proud of the Polish, the Germans are proud of German, and Austrians are proud of the Austrians, and everybody's proud of their own nation, if this is justified with all people, it means then that all races are superior to all other races. And that's foolishness. Now, if you have five dogs that are equal, you're not proud of one of them over the other. To be proud of one dog over the other, or one team member over the other, or one musician over the other, somebody has got to have something superior. Am I right? I'm proud of him. I'm especially proud of this member. Why? Because that one has got something more than the others. So if everybody is proud of that, that means every race is superior over every other race. You see, it's foolishness. And let me explain who is and who isn't a racist. Number one, one who continually demeans a particular race is a racist. Number two, one who is sensitive concerning his race is a racist. That is, he is concerned about a race over above other races. That is, for example, if you are a particular race and you're highly sensitive towards your race, then you are more concerned over one race than other races. And that makes you a racist. Because you don't care. You do care about race. You care about your race. They can hit any other race and you don't care. But hit your race and you care. Now, why should you care more about 10 million people of your race than 10 million people of this race, this race, this race, this race, or this race? They all come from Adam. They all go God's people. And come from God. They aren't necessarily better. Why are they better? Because you're one of them. Why should that make them any better than ever them? Why should you be more concerned over this than other people? Only because you've got pride of self in relation to this. It makes you full of pride and makes you a racist. Number three, one who tells negative things about a person of a particular race as a historical fact without a motive to discredit that race is not a racist. How many agree with that? How many can understand that? How many do not understand it? You don't. Well, let me start to give it to you again now. If I, for example, and I am an example of this, if I say the Jews have crucified Christ, the Jews were stubborn in ancient Israel, and the Jews did this, and the English had their stubborn pride and the foolishness and the duels and so forth, and the French had, they did this wrong, you know, and the atheists, so forth, and the atheists under Napoleon, and the Chinese under Genghis Khan, and the blacks here, and whatever, and went through all different. If I hit the different races in a historical way, but not any one in particular, but hit them all where it applies, with no motive against any race. Just telling you, I didn't frame that right. I should be saying, if I state that, I think I'll explain the next couple of pages. Maybe I'm having to include, but I'm just about to get to. Let me do that. Then I'll come back and ask you to understand. I think I'd rather do it that way, because I'm fighting bringing it in and not bringing it in. I will explain it again, though. A person who tells something, if I say something about a particular person, of a particular race. He might be a black man. He might be he might be a black man. He might be I'm thinking about the name of this person in the South who is the name is street after here. What's his name? Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, if I see from history, I mean, if my information shows me that this man has been on the pro-communist bandwagon or something and has a certain motive, but he happens to be black, but I also talk about Rothschild, who's white in English, and Rockefeller, you know, who's American, and I talk about other people in America, and I talk more even against people who are doing wrong who are Americans, But then I also talk about the Japanese doing wrong and the Germans doing wrong in World War II and others and so forth. Then I am not a racist because I say something about a person of a particular race. Because what I feel about Dr. Martin Luther King's got nothing to do with how I feel about blacks in general. And how I feel about Hitler's got nothing to do with how I feel about Germans in general. See? And what I feel about Tojo has got nothing to do with how I feel about Japanese in general. And you're not a racist to say something about a person of another race if your motive is not to attack the race. And therefore, I am not a racist. Now listen, some of you who were hurt by comments that I have made in the past thought I was a racist because you were hurt. Whereas in reality, you were hurt because the racist demon in you hurt you by his lie and by twisting the facts and putting pressure on your mind and your emotions. In other words, you were so sensitive and hurt because of your race, because you've been abused and attacked or your race has, that you've become so sensitive that you've got this demon, a racist demon, that worries about your race over and above every other race. And so if anything about your race, you're immediately hurt. Or any person, you're immediately hurt. And so you are really the racist because you think it's a race. I don't think about races. I don't care what race. I tell history as it is. I tell facts as it is. I have punched the white race 1,000,000 times more than any other race. So if I'm a racist against anybody, it's against white. If I say 11 million words against white and 20 against Mexicans, then some Mexicans will think I'm against Mexicans. Now what manner of logic is that? If I'm against anything, I'm against white. That's what I've been blasting the most. But I'm not against whites, blacks, yellows, pinks, blues, or greens.
That's right.
Now let's examine the situation from the beginning. All people are of one bloodline and gene stock from Adam and also from Noah. All people have come from Adam and Noah. Races came about because of an action by God, because of men's sin. Because Nimrod began to collect people that God said to replenish the earth and collect them into one big power group under a real false religion. And God broke that by giving them different languages and scattering them according to the language upon the face of the earth. Now, races were decided by God in relationship to the sons of Noah, the grandsons of Noah, and the great-grandsons of Noah. And I'm going to read you the scriptures on that in Genesis chapter 10. Now, listen here. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. See, everybody came to Noah. Everybody else was wiped out, but him and his sons and the wives. And unto them were the sons born after the flood. Now the sons of Japheth, that's one son, the sons of Japheth was Gomer, who became Germany, and Magog, which became Russia, and Madai, which became the Medes, or the Persians, and Javan, which became the Greeks, and Tubal, which became the Assyrians, and then into Russia and Toblast, you know, and Meshach, which is an older name for Moscow or Marsh, originally settled in northern Armenia, and Tyrus, which is Italy, or the Etruscans. And the sons of Gomer, that's the second son, and the sons of Gomer, which was the first son born to Japheth, and now we're down to grandchildren. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, which became Armenia, and Rypath, which became the Ukraine, the Stalingrad area, the Paphlagonians, originally in northern Turkey, and some went to Hungary. And Togarma became Turkey. And the sons of Javan, that goes his other son now, so now we're down to grandsons from them. Elisha, which became southern Italy, Sicily, and south Greece. And Tarshish, which became probably the Phoenicians, some think Spain and India and England, but probably Phoenicians. And some of the latest information says that most probably Spain, originally North Italy and Corsica, Sardinia, migrated to Spain. And Kittim, which is Cyprus, but off of Palestine. And Dodanum, which is Rhodes, off of Turkey. By these were the islands of the Gentiles divided into lands. Everyone after their tongue, after their families, after their nations. And the sons of Ham, now we're down to the next son of Noah, Ham. Sons of Ham, Cush. Ethiopia, Asia, Asian African. And Mizraim, which is Egypt, became Egypt. And Put, which became North Africa by the Red Sea. And Canaan, which became Palestine before Israel occupied it. And the sons of Cush, now we're down to the grandsons. Seba, which became Southwest Arabia. And Havilah, which became Northeast Arabia. And Sabta, which became South Arabia. And Rayama, which became Southeast Arabia by the Gulf. And Saptika, which became Iran near the Persian Gulf. And the sons of Rama, now we're down to grandsons again, Sheba, which became Southwest Arabia, originally on the Gulf. And Dedan, which is Northwest Arabian, originally on the Gulf. Now, go down to verse 22. And the sons of Shem, now we're down to the third son of Noah. Elam, which became Persia from the Caspian Sea to the Persian Gulf. And Asher, which became Iraq. And Arphaxad, which became Chaldea, between Shinar and Havilah, south of the Y in the Euphrates River. And and Lud, which became Lydia, southwest Turkey. And Aram, which became Syria, same latitude as Cyprus, from 50 miles inside the coast of the Euphrates. Now, then coming down to verse 31. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generation, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, this was an act of God, which he says, break it up. And scatter them abroad, they would all come into one world government under Nimrod and bring the devil in at that time. And so the world government has been pushed off, and they've been trying for a world government ever since. And they're going to have it. But then it's going to come the world government of God in the millennium. Now, as far as intelligence is concerned, there was absolutely zero information to the fact that any of Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, or Japheth, had more or less intelligence than each other, or their grandsons, or great-grandsons, or anybody else. There is no information that anybody, any race, has less intelligence than any other race. And that's not just some blabbly blue. That's the truth. The cubic centimeter of the brain has got nothing to do with intelligence. Some geniuses have smaller brains. As far as education, there's been great differences in races according to climate and time. The Egyptians had a high civilization. They had glider flying. They flew, Dr. J.O. Kinnaman found a glider with a note in it coming down off the Sinai Peninsula. They blew gold layers inside of two layers of glass. They did cornea transplants. That's not true. They did, that's not what I wanted to say. They did cataract operations. They did many things that were unknown to other civilizations for a long time. The Greeks were the most highly educated for a period of time in art and literature and other things, art and architecture and so forth. The Romans became one of the most highly educated at a period of time. The Europeans have become the most highly educated for a great period of time. The Israelites, under the prophets and the kings, were some of the most highly educated at certain periods of time under Solomon and David and so forth, as far as knowledge of religious and righteous law and other things of that order. The Hamitic Empire in Ethiopia was a highly civilized nation at one time, where there were many whites around other places that were still living uneducated. There was a black culture that was highly, that were in a high state of civilization at one time. And there have been pockets of high education in China and Arabia and various places. Now today, the United States and Europe stand above the rest of the world in general as far as education. The third world is rising in education. Russia is rising in education. There are pockets of ignorance in America, below that, of people from Africa and places. There was more education in some places in South Africa, Rhodesian places, and all in some places in America, you know, back in hillbilly country, in some places, pockets. There's pockets of ignorance in Africa, great pockets of ignorance. There's great pockets of ignorance in Australia, particularly among the Australian Bushmen, the Aborigines, There's great pockets of ignorance in China. Some of them living like they did 2,500 years ago. They don't know nothing about, they don't even know who's the premier of their nation. They have no intercourse with them at all, socially speaking. And they're still living like they did back in ancient days. They don't even know, they don't understand other Chinese dialects. They know nothing about the outside world. They don't even know the United States even exists. Education is an opportunity. Education is not a measure of intelligence. It's only opportunity to learn things. So people should not be hurt if it is explained that there are people that of your race that have less education. That just means less opportunity. It has nothing to do with intelligence. Now, God's curse on Ham. God cursed Ham through Canaan. God's curse on Ham had nothing to do with making them inferior. Nothing to do with inferior intelligence. But God did curse them. He said so. The curse was that they would become slaves throughout the world. They would be hurt. They would be unfairly. They would be abused. And that's what happened to them. That was their curse. Just like the curse on Israel. They have been kicked from pillar to post and abused since they rejected Christ. And they have been. That was their curse. It didn't mean they're inferior. Now, if you're black in this church, the fact that the Ham was cursed and his nation's been cursed doesn't affect you. You're living here in America at this time with equal opportunity. You're not a slave. It doesn't affect you. You shouldn't be defensive about it in the slightest. It shouldn't hurt you if anybody mentions it at all. It's just a part of history. History should not be distorted like the Russians do and like some of the liberals are doing. And they're making black history, they're twisting history in order to make it say what they want to say. We should be able to face history as it is. We all come from one blood. A scientist, by taking a person's blood, cannot tell what color he is, what race he is. He knows nothing. He can't tell anything about that. We all come from one blood, which vindicates creationism. Now, they're all racial, behavioral characteristics, as well as racial, physical characteristics. When God took this grandson, see, races were given, lineages were given by sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons, not just indiscriminately, not just, you 500. It was, this grandson shall all go together, and they had one language. They keep intermingling and intermingling. The genetic system, pretty soon they become like interbreeding. They will become of one look, generally, one basic look. But there's also certain behavioral characteristics that are found in different ethnic groups that are different from each other. Some of these are inherited, and some of these are acquired. Some of them are because of custom and various things like this, and others are because they are inherited through the gene system. Now, let me give you some truth. Truth. Crime is much higher by blacks in America than by whites. Don't blame me. I didn't do it. That's the truth. I've seen it. I have seen the crime reports by the police. I have seen them. I have a friend who's a policeman. He showed them to me. A myth is yes, because of the poverty. That's not true. It's partly true, but it's not true. Truth, violent crimes are higher by... I'm saying all this for a purpose. Violent crimes are higher by blacks than whites. Violent crimes are higher among poor blacks than among poor whites. Violent crimes are higher among uneducated blacks than among uneducated whites. Violent crimes are higher among criminal blacks than criminal whites. Truth. I don't know if I got the figure quite right, but I think it's right. Rape is something like 7 times more by blacks than by whites. Now, let's talk about reason. Reason. One reason is living in poor areas, and poor areas always breeds more crime. And a lot of blacks have been forced to live in poor areas. Another reason is poor attitudes. It's been fostered by liberals, making them unhappy, They worked hard in this country, to the communists, working to the liberals. They worked hard in this country to get the blacks unhappy. And I have much documentation for this. But the third reason is that the blacks are a more emotional race. And being more emotional, they tend toward, blacks will do more hitting, more cutting, they do more violence, more physical violence, because they're more emotional. But let's look at the whole story. One, blacks rape more than whites. Two, blacks with more violent crimes. Blacks cut more and hit more. But four, blacks tend to get saved easier than whites. Five, blacks tend to move into Pentecostal and revivals easier than whites. Six, blacks tend to be excited concerning souls more than white. Seven, blacks are typically more easily anointed than whites. Eight, blacks are typically more enthusiastic singers than whites. And ninth, blacks typically backslide more than easily than whites. This is an absolute fact. And I know many, many, many missionaries that have told me that. A Scandinavian, you've got to attach 9 tractors to him and drag him across the line to get him saved. But once he's saved, brother, he's saved. Now, that's not, the total truth. That's, that's a hyperbole. And the Scandinavians won't all go under and throw rocks at me for saying this. A black will come in much faster. He'll be able to move into revival and Pentecostal because he's got an emotional makeup. The Scandinavians want to sing, back in the old church, They don't have the same emotional ability. But the blacks backslide faster. That's why in Africa, the Assemblies of God, they would not let a black be baptized before 6 months. They backslide too fast. Same way in some of the Indians out here in the court. My father ministered among them. The Indians themselves call them slippery backs. They said they backslide too easily. But they don't have the same staying power. But they move in quicker. Now, also, I should point out the Japanese in America have less crime than the whites in America. The violent areas of town are not the Japanese districts. The blacks first and the whites second. Japanese come out a lot better. They're less violent than the whites. Now, also, women are more emotional than men. Greeks are more emotional than Englishmen. Demison went back to Greece. I never knew how emotional Greeks were until I came back from America. Because when I was there, I just accepted it as normal. Once they came here and went back, they were so emotional. I mean, even when they drive, everybody's they're all crowding in and jamming and maybe, he said, I tried to drive pretty like in America. It doesn't work. I never got any place. He said, even standing in the banks. He said, in America, people stand in line in the bank. Everybody's quiet. Over there, everybody's He never realized how much the emotional makeup was different. Italians are more emotional than Scandinavians. Hamitic blacks of Africa are more emotional than the Hamitic Shemites of India. Indians of India are not as emotional. Now, there is no good or bad inherited or genetic behavioral characteristics. Even though some of you may wish you were different, there's no such thing as good or bad genetic. God has not made people with good and bad personality traits. It's what you do with it. They both have pluses. They both got the minuses. Men are glad they're not as emotional as women in inner relationships. Georgia said amen. And crisis. They're glad that they don't fall all to pieces and bawl like crazy during crisis and so forth. But they envy them in the spiritual emotions. See? I mean, we envy them like crazy. See, emotions are both pluses and minuses depending. You can't say blacks or whites or Scandinavian, but it is better or worse because of more emotional or less. But being more emotional, they react different. I've been down in the Caribbean. I've been down in places. I've seen how they act. They act different. They're more emotional. But if you get a group of people among others of different, then they will become more like the people they're around. I have found in this country that foreigners who live in this country all their life are different than foreigners over in their country. And they tend to follow the behavior of people around them, even though it is basic to the race. But there's great variation, of course, in every nation. Now, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. We are all one in God's spirit. And the world is under the prince of this world, Satan. So why are you glued to a nation or to a race? There is no reason why anybody should be glued to a race or a nation. Why defend heathen nations? There are people, there's some Japanese have been hurt in here because I made certain statements concerning, you know, the atomic bomb and Pearl Harbor and so forth. I got an article, I cut out the paper yesterday. A Japanese physician who's been treating people from Hiroshima and Nagasaki said the atomic bomb saved Japan. And he said it has been estimated if the atomic bomb did not kill, I don't remember, 150,000, whatever it did, they would have lost probably 10 million Japanese in the invasion trying to save the homeland. But what do the liberals bring up? They never bring that out. The whores, we never have lived down the whores of dropping an atomic bomb on them. But they go in Tawala, Truk, other places there on those islands, flamethrowers, burn them alive, run out fire, run on fire. Oh, that's all right. Not on the grenades, boom, blown. Oh, that's all right. Cut off legs and arms and send them back like this. Oh, that's okay. But a atomic bomb, no, no. See, ridiculous. Ridiculous. The liberals are always on some ridiculous, brain, nonsensical brainwash, twisting everything out of proportion. A nation attacked has a right to defend itself, and if the method employed saves lives on both sides, it's more humane than if they don't use it. And for that, I've gotten all kinds of books aimed at me, titled everything, I've got a big old hood and so forth. My friend, for example, if you're Japanese, why defend a Japanese heathen nation? You're an American. You're living here. You're Christian. Why defend that nation? Demons. Demons in every way. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And that's what I'm really getting at. Now, I mean, you know, I like the Japanese people. I'm not against Japanese people. I've been friends with Japanese people. I've done judo with Japanese people. I'm not against Japanese people. Or blacks or anybody else. I've done judo with blacks. I had one. I put on an exhibition one time. I had a group of white students and one black. I picked the black to put the exhibition on. I'm not against that. I'm not against them. My wife and I lived in a house one time with a black person down below. We were very close to him. I was one particular black where I worked with a worker. You know, I spent more time with him than a lot of the whites around. I love some of the blacks here more than I, and PDO love more than I do a lot of the whites. I intensely love some of these black people here. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care. I don't care. It makes difference to me. I'm one of these people that hate racism. I hate this business of national pride. I think it's so foolish when people get up and do it all the time. Is how many from Chicago? Yay! Yay, Chicago. Now, how many from Minneapolis? Yay! What difference does that make? That's so stupid. Besides, you may be from Minneapolis and all over the rest of the country besides. Everybody's from everywhere. What difference? Even the guys in the ice hockey. Yay, Seattle. They're from Quebec and Toronto and New York and every place else. There's all this pride that's so ridiculous. It doesn't make any difference. America is becoming a Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, you're finally going to have to understand. You can't. Oh, America. Brother, look at it. What you're finally going to have to understand is we are pilgrims and strangers walking here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just too earth-oriented. We've been brainwashed by the world. The only basis of any affinity is the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes us closer than our relatives that are unsaved. But when you finally have to understand is whether you're not, you belong to God or you're against God. You're for me, you're against me. That's where the division comes in. That's where the discrimination comes in right there. Everybody who's in Christ Jesus is loved by God. He's our brother, so how could you possibly worry about him? He's got Jesus Christ in him. He loves God. That makes him better than any nationality that doesn't love God. should love him much more. All people of all nations without Christ hate Christ. And all people of all nations with Christ love Christ. Now, there's national and racial demons. I mean, a dime a dozen, so to speak. Let me give you some examples. And I trust this will not hurt anybody, but I'm doing it for teaching purposes. Themis, for example. I'm going to use him because we all love him so much. Themis was an absolute shining example. He came from Greece. He was in a Bible college, went to the master's program. Everybody here loves Themis. And who knows him? Themis was an absolute sweetheart, and still is. But Themis had to come to grips with demons that he was not aware of. Greek demons. And we were visiting in his land. He wanted to show us every demonic thing in the country. Because, see, Greece, the glory of Greece has departed. And Greece is a poor country with nothing but ancient ruins of all the heathen temples and heathen idolatrous statues. And the only reason any American ever goes to Greece outside of some unusual business thing is to run around looking at all the demonic symbols they had of their demonic past. And so wanting to do us a favor, he ran us all over Greece with all these demonic pillows and statues. And Al Scott, we're going to face him and say, well, demonic, you know, all these things, you see. But Themis caught himself saying things he did not believe and mean. And he contradicted himself a number of the things. He would, with great pride, point out this Greek god and goddesses and what they did and so forth, like, just like he was a heathen. And then he'd turn around, walk out, and say somebody like to burn the place down. I mean, see, he had two things happening in him. And till finally we had to tell him, well, Themis, we don't want to hurt your feelings, but we don't want to go anymore. He wanted to run us all across the nation, across this country, to show us these places. We're not really interested in that. We want to see how people live. We want to see the homes. We want to see theirs. We don't want to see all that. And, oh, okay, when he flipped right over. But we had to gently bring him, and Ralph kind of helped him, the fact that you have a spirit, see, of pride of Greece. And he had to be faced with that, and he had to come against it, and he had to renounce that thing. We've had at least two people here that had to come against a spirit of pride of Austria. And these demons have put so much pressure on people. They wanted to go back to their country, although they couldn't fit in there. They loved the church here. This is what God called them. They've been Americans here for years and years and years. There was a constant pulling to that. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. I hope there's no way to be hurt by this. But I'm going to trust the person to be big enough not to get hurt. Christian Erickson, a dear friend of mine I dearly love, we took this trip to Europe, and he had to come to grips with something that hit him that I don't think he realized before, a love of Germany that put him in a place that where he admitted himself. He lived there for a while, you know, he learned the language, he learned it just like a German does. He had to learn the fine nuance, knew about it, studied about it, learned all these places, and a certain pride comes when you do that. And he had that pride until if anybody said anything against Germany, we'd see something, we'd say something against him. There was a defense in this when it went up for Germany and it hit back in the United States or something. This thing came and he had to deal with that. And that is typical. That is not unusual. That is typical. Almost from anybody from any other country, there's a pride in that country. I mean, you know, we're Norwegian, you're only a Swede. You know. We're Swedes, you're Norwegian, see? Norwegian brains are worth a lot more than Swede brains. It takes a lot, you know, and the Swede says, well, sure, it takes a lot more than to make up a head, you know. I mean, that thing's been going on for generations. And they both just over the mountaintop from each other. There are problems in American Indians, see? And American Indians. And Americans get involved in these other cultures. I've seen Americans go into Japanese societies and judo and kind of things, and they get full of Japanese pride and Japanese answers, and they get studying with a passion until they go to Tokyo, they become more Japanese, and they're thinking they love it. I mean, they become just engrossed with the Japanese culture. Others will go in and you know, and get gurus, whatever, and become engulfed with the Indian culture in India, see? And if people become engulfed in, you know, I've seen Americans get so engulfed in one fellow here, he had to come to grips with the fact, I'm not going to tell his name, but his name is Joy Schneider, with the American Indian, until, you know, everything was American Indian, American Indian, American Indian, until pride began to build for the American Indian. And these spirits enter, and all of a sudden you get a problem. I know a certain individual, I won't say who this individual is, that person is half Greek and half something else, And because they look Greek, everything is Greek, love of Greek. Greece is marvelous. Greece is the most beautiful country I've been there. It's not like they say. Everything's marvelous Greek. They won't even admit their other heritage. And in spite of the fact that the mother is not Greek and she's filled with the Holy Ghost and the father is not even living with him, never has, and he is a Greek and he's unsaved, but because she looks Greek and because how beautiful she is, and she is, then everything is Greek, Greek. See, that the spirit has entered and twisted. And this pride has seized people. It's one of the things that made, you know, Hitler and others in the Nazi government, of, you know, the pride, you know, of the Aryan race, that's the right word, of the Aryan race over others. And it's about, you know, discrimination, you know, against Jews and so forth. And there's this national pride. It's of the devil. There's no reason to pick out any group of people from any of the grandsons and say they are any greater, you know, any greater as a people inherently than anybody else. Some nations have done more, have more opportunity, have become greater than this, but as individuals, nobody's any greater than anybody else. We're all the same stock. Now, if I mention the sins of the Quakers in England, and I'm a large part English, and the Quakers did wrong because they really persecuted others. They didn't want to be persecuted against, they persecuted others in their intolerance. And if I mention the sins of the Pennsylvania Dutch that did the same thing in this country, and of Hitler, who, you know what he did in Germany, and of the Irish, because of the Irish wars and so forth, and of the foolish pride of the Englishmen and the duels in England to wipe each other out over an argument, they didn't, whoever shot the ball the fastest, most accurate, didn't tell you who was right, and witchcraft in England, I'm not implicated, in spite of the fact that I am English, Dutch, German, and Irish. That didn't implicate me. It didn't bother me in the slightest. You can tell jokes about Englishmen all you want. It didn't hurt me any. I don't kill. That's not me. That's them. I'm not every Englishman. I'm not every German. I'm not every... Besides, if you say you're an Englishman, let me give you an example. If you say you're an Englishman, what does that mean? Well, it may mean that you came from one of the 10 tribes of Israel that rebelled against God and found their ways into England, notably Manasseh. Or it may mean that you're a Roman. You came up when the Romans occupied England and set the soldiers there and took women and had babies by them. It might mean that you're in the Anglo-Saxon from the northern German area that came across and brought in the Anglo-Saxon race. It might mean you're a Norwegian that came down under the king and drove the Britons to the hills. It might mean that you're French. You came over during the Huguenot Wars, Catholic Inquisition against the Huguenots in France, who fled to England. Or one of the other places on the continent when England was Protestant and they were Catholic. It could mean anyone of anything. But even if you were from Norway, well, that might mean that you're from Japheth, or might mean you're from Shem. And who was them? And they tell you to trace it all down, you all come back to good old Noah. And you come back to Adam. No matter who you are. See? You keep going back and back and back and back, it all traces back to the same root system. Exactly. Every country, Greece itself, it's so loaded with so many other cultures coming in that even some of the lost tribes of Israel came into Greece and many other different ones. Every nation's practice has been impacted by this. Now, if I mention Tojo and the Japanese warlords, you're Japanese, not implicated. Your name is not Tojo. Yamamoto, the head of the Navy, did not want to go to war against America. Tojo, the warlord of the Japanese army, wanted to go, and he prevailed. You're neither one. You're yourself. There's no reason you should be implicated by other Japanese people. Now, if I implicate the Jews in the wilderness because of their stubbornness, you Jews shouldn't have a conniption. If I mention that many of the international Jews in opposition, or anti-Christ Jews in the world today that are against Christ, the Orthodox, like Nathan Cohen Bestin, chief Jewish rabbi of all Europe before he was converted, he used to spit 3 times, get the filthy name of Jesus out of their mouth if they ever had to use it. If I mention that Jews killed Christ, you Jews don't have to be defensive. You're not a Jewish religion anymore, you're a Christian. You didn't kill Christ, you accepted him. You're not an internationalist. You're not being a rich and national Jew. If you're, loan us some money. We can use it. Every Jew wasn't stubborn. Jesus was a Jew. He was pretty good. Now, I've had Jews hurt. I've had a Jew come to me in this assembly by race. And he was letting me know he was behind me and all of this, even though I said these things. What things? I was just being stubborn in the wilderness. I can't help it. I didn't write the book because they were stubborn. I didn't make them stubborn. I didn't say all Jews are stubborn. See? I didn't say all Japanese are wool, oh Lord. I didn't say all blacks are, you know, pro-communist. The only thing I said about Dr. Martin Luther King is that my information is that a senator who was, you know, digging up something about communists became upset and concerned when he learned that Dr. Martin Luther King had a certain man under him in a certain position who was a pro-communist, or a communist. I'm not sure if it was in the case, but I think it was a communist. And this was brought before the Senate Investigation Committee or whatever. And so pressure was put on him, and so he moved the man. He fired him and put in somebody else. But then when they found out, he turned up in another organization, still under Dr. Martin Luther King. And then they found that out and it brought to his attention, and he fired him. And finally he came up in another one under Dr. Martin Luther King. And so, in other words, they began to implicate him. And but see, some people don't like to hear that because he's become their hero because he made life better for them. But they don't know really, you don't really know that man's heart and what he was for. He never said that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and born again. You don't know what he was really under. The communists have worked the South against the blacks. They go up in the North and they have certain areas and they take the unions and the whites and so forth and the blacks and they talk about the blacks. They work the two against each other. They work on both sides, my friend. Don't be dupes. Now, if I imply that Mexicans borrow, I said one time, if I imply that Mexicans borrow, everybody knows that Mexicans borrow. That's neither good nor bad. Just a different system. And Joanna came over from Greece. She tried pulling borders down here at pennies. She didn't know. She walks in and says, how much is this dress? And he said, $65. And she says, what price is it for me? And he said, $65. And she says, don't I have a special price? He said, nobody gets a special price. $65. Take it or leave. She says, what's going on here? She couldn't figure it out. Oh, but they're all cost for you. We have a special price. You know, it's always special, you know. They always do that. And they say, well, try down there. They probably have it. She says, I never heard of such a thing in Greece. Nobody makes anything they don't have. They don't have no knowledge of anything, you know, except for their store carriage. See, different cultures. It's not either right or wrong. Now, I said that God is not a Mexican that you can Jew him down. No, I didn't slam you Jews and Mexicans. All I was saying is God has a certain price, and you can't change his price like a Mexican. Like you're in Mexico. That's all I said. Now, there's no slam against Mexicans. I didn't say anything against a Mexican. I just said the custom was to barter, and God is not a Mexican he can be bartered with. And some Mexican got hurt. Deeply hurt. And then he said, well, everybody's been poking me against a Mexican. But I haven't. I can't help it because Mexico borders. What's happened is demons hurting people, twisting things, making me a racist, but the fact is they have been racist. Because they are concerned about a race. I'm not concerned about race. Just the opposite of what they thought. If I say that the United States has ruined Indians on reservations, I haven't implicated you Indians. You're not on reservations. I've only implicated the United States government for getting these people and spoiling them by giving them money so they can sit there and drink and not have to work or anything. You wouldn't do that for your children. That's not bringing up children good. That's no way to treat anybody. Indians should be brought off the reservations and put to work like anybody else so they can become worth something. If I say that I didn't just get off a banana boat. You blacks aren't implicated. How many of you blacks just got off a banana boat? Would you raise your hand? What do you care if some blacks are on banana boats? Now, anybody with any intelligence or any education knows that there are many, many places in the dark continent of Africa where people have not been used to civilization. They've lived in in what we call industrial civilization, at least. And they are unaware of things that go on out in the Western world and what happens. And so if they traveled by a banana boat up a river to a city or something and got off, you know, they could be, you know, duped into a lot of things. And I just said, I didn't just get off a banana boat. I didn't say you did. Yet two people approached me that maybe I was making racial slurs. That's no racial slur. That's anything against anybody. I have anything against blacks. I can't help it because some blacks, I just said that I'm not like, I didn't just get, you know, off a banana boat like somebody who came from a non-civilized place and doesn't know what's going on in the world. See, but the problem is too thin-skinned. Because worrying about a race. May I say to you blacks that I love with all my heart, I love that dear brother and some others, you shouldn't worry. And he doesn't. This brother's coming to me and says, boy, I'm behind you, Pastor. I'd like to get to him and say some things in your defense if you want me to. I'll be willing to say some, brother. Say, that guy, he's right behind me. Boy, I love that brother. He's got a spirit as gold. In fact, if every white here had the same spirit that man had, I'd be pleased. But, I'm sure they're going to sing now. I get what I was going to say. I can't remember what it is now. But anyway, see, you're not implicated. And I'm trying to remember and I can't get a hold of it. Now, we have got to get rid of racism, see, fostered by, one, racist Americans, you know, who've been against blacks in the beginning, you know, and like, you know, they're slaves and that type of thing, you know. I mean, they're just lower mentality. That's racism, and it's totally wrong. And that has existed in this country, particularly in the South. Two, fostered by liberals, like I have brought you. Make everybody race conscious. Color, everything done by color. And three, by demons, like I have mentioned, in all races. And four, pride of self. Pride of self. There's no more reason why I, that's what I'm getting at now, I guess. no more reason why this dear brother here, this black brother should be, there's no more reason why he should be in favor of blacks in America than whites in America. Because he's none of the black, he's none of the white, he's himself. And since color doesn't make any difference, why should he be for them? Why should he be for one race against another race? Why should he be more for one race than for another race? Blacks aren't better than whites. So why should he be more for blacks than whites? It's because he's black. It's got nothing to do with it. There's no reason why he should be more for Americans and Japanese. You know, anybody else? Doesn't have anything to do with it. Whites are no better. God doesn't care. They're all the same stock. Just because you got more cretone or melanin and change the colors, that doesn't make any difference. And so this idea that your race is something special is pride and racism. And it all boils down to individual pride of self. Because if you weren't that race, you'd be in another race. See? If your mother who married your father was something different, boom, you'd jump over something else. See? Well, I'm half this and half this. See? Doesn't make any difference. Now, liberals got this thing going, and I'll propose in a moment. Liberals got this thing going, like in America. If you're 1/16th or 8th Indian, you can go out to the Indian hospital here in Puyallup, free. Because you see, the whites were the bad people that came in and drove the Indians off their land and hurt them. So, if you're 15/16th bad person and 1/16th good person, then the bad people would help pay for it. And you get free at the Indian hospital. That doesn't make a bit of sense to me. See? All this racism is so ridiculous. The truth of the matter is God called the white man to this country. This was not the Indians' country. And has never claimed this as a country of the Indians. They had individual pockets and that was their country. In between was no man's land. And they were heathens and barbarians and pirates. And they fought each other and committed all kinds of atrocities. They warred constantly with one another. And America was basically trying to sneak their way through to the West Coast. And they were coming like pirates, looking at them, finding them, coming down, burning them, attacking them, scalping them, taking their goods. They were robbers. Now, that's not all Indians. And many white men did many bad things. But it's not quite like the liberals are painting. This was not their land. God owns the land, just like he owned Canaan. God sent them here. They were not, Americans didn't come here and attack the Indian villages and try to wipe them out. The only thing they did was in defense, basically. They were nervous here. They wanted to be left alone and occupy the land. They were not trying to take over the Indian villages. That became these constant Indian attacks on them. And why did the Indian attack them? Because they were trying to hurt them? No. They were trying to sneak past them so they wouldn't see they were there and go leave their country. They'd catch them leaving their country and burn their wagons and kill them and murder them. Heathens. But a demon had made people, Indians, for example, so worried about their race. But you're not them because you're not a heathen. You're a Christian. So you know you don't relate to them. And it wasn't their bloodline that was the problem. It was their religion that caused the problem. Now, that's the central bottom issue. In all the atrocities and all the problems caused by any and all races in the world, it never was the race that was the problem. It was the religion that was the problem. So let's get things down to religion, not race. Now, you've got to discern when a person is implicating you against another of your, or whether a person is another person of your race. There's a difference. You've got to discern when a person is slamming a race or only explaining historical truth in which a person of your race is justly implicated. We have got to quit defending races, and we've got to quit being so thin-skinned. Races are unimportant. Whether you're saved or unsaved is what's important. Now, a few more things here. There was this thing of jokes, for example. Now, I don't know, you know, I cannot say I have the balance necessarily on jokes. It might be that all jokes against all people are demonic for all I know. I don't know. But I know God's given humor. All people have humor. And people have always exercised humor towards their own self or their neighbor. I mean, humor about college life is more fun among college people than something else. And negative does run toward the humor. Humor runs toward the negative because if you say something positive, that's not funny. You know, it's the other. And so I can't say, you know, really what the balance is, excepting that all people from the beginning of time, people have always had jokes on themselves and other people around them. And when I was brought up, you know, it was constant Norwegian and Swedish jokes. But nobody really cared. And there's Italian jokes, you know, and then there's a Scotch joke, he's stingy, you know, and the Dutchman, you know, he's stubborn, and the Englishman, he's proud, and you know, and all this. And everyone, you know, and everybody had a good time. Nobody really worried about it. But today people come so thin skin is terrible. Now, for example, if you're Pole, if you tell Polak jokes, let me tell you something. I know Polak person, but he's so paranoid about Polak jokes. Let me explain something. Almost nobody here knows anything about Polacks. And a Polack joke has nothing to do with Polacks. It's just a device. You can change to anything. It's just a device to tell a story. Nobody thinks Polacks are bad. They don't know anything about Poles. And they know you are, most of them. And they could care less. They're not against Poles. Don't be so thin-skinned. Don't worry about it. People have always told you, well, he's a Jew, and he's Jews, and they had all these about Jewing him down. You're not worried somebody's giving that kind of a joke. These jokes are just only using devices. The people really don't feel way about the race of people. But demons want to get you all worried and nervous about the thing. Don't worry about it. This men against women, sexist, is pride. It's foolishness. Which is better, the violin or the bowl? They go together. You don't compete. You use them together and make beautiful music. Women's liberation. I teach you, women are tough. Women aren't tough. They're not tough. The women, they're constantly hitting the movies and television saying, well, you got these men, there's only women, so you've got to have some women in there being tough. And so now they always have a woman, a tough woman in there, got this guy, they don't go like that. You know how they do? I haven't watched a lot of this, but I've watched enough to know that it's all pure baloney. And what the liberals are doing is twisting reality, see? Twisting reality. And here comes this, here's typical. I know you all can relate to this. Here comes Mr. Tough Guy in, see? And this guy, wham, he's slamming him with his fist, but he's taking it. Bam, right down the counter and out through the wall, see? Right through the walls he goes. I mean, wham, wham, crash, crash, big booty guys, huge fat guys, guys with big hooks, mean-looking guys. Wham, shoo. And hook him this woman in and hits him with a pan. Bang, whoop, he's out like I see. Grabs him. Woo! 400 pounds of Hulk goes flying through the air, and 110 pounds of woman flips his wrist. What are they doing? Total non-reality. Woman crawls out beneath the tractor and says, yeah, time for lunch. You know anything about that tractor. There's not many women mechanics. They're making people think that women are all involved in mechanics. They're not involved in mechanics. That isn't where their interest lay. And they're all around scowling, looking mad all the time, you know. Liberation to be mad, full of all these demons of sulking and mad, you know. Impolite, swagger. One of them said, a woman's going to be twice as good as a man to be able to compete with a man today, but fortunately it's not hard for a woman to be twice as good as a man. See, all this lying on their behalf, you know, for the position. Woman's not twice as good as a man. Making supervisors over men diametrically opposed to what the Bible says, that women should not be exercising their position. They're not made that way. Woman wants to receive from a man, not be over. And these women, she got demons in them. They want to control. Why does a woman want to be a policeman? She can't handle that work out there. Because she wants to swagger with authority. It's demonic. And they're competing in a job world against men they cannot compete in properly. And they're teaching them, well, women are the same as men except for the environment. Pure baloney. Anybody who's been a parent knows that your kids are different from the beginning. Boys are different than girls. There is not a woman team. You can take the best women team in all the world, make one all-star team for football. They'll never compete against the Los Angeles Rams, ever. No woman can peg like a baseball like a man can. They're made different. God made them that way. They're now women doing weightlifting. They show a man, you know, he's got muscles on top of his muscles on top of his muscles. He comes out like this, you know, he's about that broad. They get a woman in front of him, she's like this, you know. A little skinny, I mean, she doesn't look like him. She can't build muscle like him. They're different. That doesn't make one better than another. Men are not better than women. They're just different. And women, if women will be women, they're beautiful creatures. I love feminine women. I love all women. And men, if they'll be men, make good men. Men make lousy women, and women make lousy men. Rhinoceros make lousy giraffes. Giraffes make lousy rhinoceroses. You know, old rhino's got these little short, pudgy legs, you know, and he comes along like this, you know, and he's not like the antelope that would he bounce. I saw two rhinos walking around a lake one time. They were going together, just in parallel. And there was a whole herd of animals. What kind were they? Zebras, whole herd of zebras, all around the lake, down tight on the lake. I said, watch these two, watch what happens, you know. And here comes these two rhinos, just like almost like they were talking back and forth, but they weren't, because they were walking together, parallel. And here comes this big group, and they came to the zebras, they all melted away. And they never went around them. They just kept going straight. See, they couldn't run like them, but they had the ability of not having anybody attack them either, see. And they had that ability. See, everybody's got the, you know, everything is different. God's made it different. God wants to discriminate against everything and keep it in its proper God-made place. The devil's trying to mix it all up. Men with men, homosexual, women with women, children against parents, children's lib, women's lib, everything's revolt, rebel against what God has created. There are men, you know, they ridicule women. That's demonic. They ridicule women. They're a marvelous thing. They like you, you would not want one. Well, how come you're always crying? Because they're a woman, you dope. What do you want to marry, James Bond? Huh? And they would come for women driving. Well, women don't drive. For the most part, women do not drive with the same ability as men. They're not as mechanical, but they do other things. They do make much better mothers than you men. They're much better than in other ways. A child needs his mother. Dad can't do it alone. And he needs his dad. Women can't do it. Dad has a way of playing with the kids that way that mother won't do. And he's something to them. And then they're trying to divide the homes and take away one half of the other and make women like men out in the world and make them like men. You see, it doesn't won't work. And men are, you know, well, how come the women, you'll be illogical? How come you like this? Because God hasn't given her the same logic as you in the same way. Now, some women are more logical than men. Some women are less emotional, some men. See, there's always differences. But in general, I'm talking about. Women are physically weaker than men in general. They just are. Everybody knows that. Even a big woman is not as strong as a smaller man. But the reality is, us men don't want the women stronger than us, more logical, less emotional, better drivers. We don't want them that way. See? The truth of the matter is, if you ridicule them for being the way that they are, all a man's really doing, if you ladies want to know, is he's just trying to build up his own male image. He's just trying to say, see, I'm more masculine. See, he's just trying to build up his own image, make sure that he get his position he wants to hold. That's all he's doing, really. See, he really likes you the way you are. Now, in conclusion, I want you to trust your pastor's heart in this minute. I want you to get delivered. I want you to look at things God's way instead of the way of the liberal world. I want you to bury pride and defensiveness. Christians should be tolerant, not thin-skinned. Because we should have love and truth. And love and truth should make us tolerant. Christians should be able to accept truth without having to distort it to avoid paranoia. We should be able to look it square in the face. If me, my family, the race that I've come from, if problems in it, we should be able to look at it. Not go under because somebody has to correct us, so we might have a problem. If you got a problem, you got a problem. Face it and do the best you can with it. See? Paranoia is demonic. That's what it is. Christians should be able to face and accept the weaknesses and the lacks squarely. We have certain lacks. I've got certain lacks. You've got to face them. Don't know you can do it. Put your head in the sand and hide it and pretend it's some other way. Don't be hurt by it. Accept it. Accept it. So when they think I'm fat, well, you are fat, so take it off. But I have a hard time. It's because there's a demon there. Come against that demon of gluttony. Begin to work on it. And maybe other things involved too. Don't get paranoid. You know? I mean, don't avoid the truth. People walk around trying to avoid the truth. I'm heavy and nobody's supposed to notice it. I'm skinny and nobody's supposed to notice it. I'm short, nobody's supposed to notice it. See? And all of that, don't, you know, face what you are and do the best you can with it. And face differences of offices, differences of talents, differences of rewards in heaven. God is fair. God talks about differences of talents. God decides these things. We shouldn't rebel against him. Everybody is an even, same, same. God says, I've given him one talent, him five talents, and him 10 talents. God did that. For his own reasons. Don't pretend it isn't there. Don't make everybody same. Everybody's not same. But accept what you are and do the best you can. Because God has made you a certain vessel. He hasn't put certain demands on you. He hasn't got put certain temptations into that they've got. They may have a higher office with more temptation and more demands. You're a certain soul that came to being a certain way, and God doesn't expect your rose to be like a camellia bush. Everything is what it is. Just be, if you're a rose, be a good rose. If you're a camellia, be a good camellia. Don't judge you. He that judges himself by himself is not wise, the Bible says. And finally, we get a marvelous hope. We get a marvelous help. And we get a marvelous unity and love. So let's accept what God's given us. And go with it. Amen?